reach up into Malaysia with his word while in Singapore. And as we heard the prayer request this morning, a prayer about going in and out of a country. They do not welcome missionaries into Malaysia, but they do welcome American passports. And so for 3 years, we were able to go back and forth into Malaysia every 90 days. We had to leave and then come back in. We went to the city of Malacca, started a Bible study there, and which turned into the Malacca Bible Baptist Church. And again, you'll see a little bit more about that tonight. And after about a year, the immigration people started to, you can't keep coming back and forth. And we said, okay, just, and it was interesting, it was always leaving the country. They argued with us, just let us leave, you know? And then we'd stay out for a week in Singapore, turn around, go back in, and we'd go back in, and they'd go, and we were in for another 90 days, but God opened the door for us to get a residence visa. And so never underestimate the power of God in his leading. Amen. Never underestimate the call of God, because he opens doors that governments cannot shut if it's his will. And it doesn't matter whether they're friendly to him or not. He opens the doors. So they gave us a 5-year residence visa. Back then, it was called the Silver Hair Program. And yeah, that worked. And so after 5 years, we continued to pray, and the Lord gave us a 10-year residence visa, which they just recently renewed the second half of that this February or March. They renewed the second half, so now we have an ingress, egress, permit to go in and out of the country till 2019. And now, when we go back in, they welcome us home. It's called the Malaysia My Second Home Program. And so, again, the Lord works in wonderful ways, and it's through prayer. It is. It's through your prayers, it's through your prayer partnership that God works in his power to do these things. And so we want to encourage to continue in prayer and to continue in serving him, ministering unto him. Well, we have a lesson this morning I'd like to share. And it's a lesson in God's word about quitting too soon, stopping too soon. Sometimes as we get older, we start beginning to think it's time for the younger people to take over. It's time for the younger people to step in. I'm just getting tired. I can't go like I used to go. You know, I mean, we're talking about good people serving the Lord, but again, sometimes we stop too soon. And I believe that God put a particular lesson in his word to help us understand the ramifications. There are serious consequences in this world to individuals stopping too soon. And so I trust this morning that the lesson will be a blessing and it'll be a help. And if you've been thinking about resting, I trust that you'll rethink, okay, the situation. And the Lord has given us in his word that if we will simply wait upon him, if we will simply rest in him, he will lift us up. You know, there's no doubt about it. You can get tired. You can get frustrated. I know most of you don't have this problem, but sometimes you can even get angry. and say, you know, what's the point? But there is a great important point to this. This is God's work. This is God's will. We are God's people. We are ambassadors for Christ. And we have been given a message to share from home to the world. And this morning, I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Samuel We're going to be looking at the life of a good man. And this is, there's no doubt. There's no doubt in this that this is the testimony of a great man of God, Samuel. And we want to look at a couple of things about him. The first thing is we want to look at the features of his success in Samuel chapter 1. The features of his success. And we are a success-oriented people. But we want to remember that success with the Lord is measured each night when we pillow our head. If we can say that we have done what God has wanted us to do today, if we can go to sleep at night knowing that we are where God wants us to be, this is key. This is what we present to the people in Singapore and Malaysia, is that we need to be where God wants us to be, when he wants us to be there, doing what he wants us to do. Life is simple. We complicate it. Life is simple. If we would simply hold on to that truth, it'll be a great help. And don't get confused. Don't get into, I don't know why this word just popped into my head. I haven't thought of it for a long time. Consternation. Yes, sometimes we just, we just get that way. No, it's when we try to take too much. And it boils down to day to day. Day to day, trusting the Lord. Set goals, no doubt. I'm 64 years old, so I'm not setting my 30-year goals anymore. Okay, not like I used to. Although, I have been greatly encouraged this morning by meeting our 100-year-old brother, that maybe I should start setting those 30-year-old goals again. 30-year goals, and press forward, okay, toward that. That has been a tremendous encouragement. But as we look at Samuel, we see that his life was started out right. His parents dedicated him to the Lord. He was dedicated by his family to serve the Lord. And we hear this, but we do not need to, we should not take this lightly. As parents and as grandparents, we should be much in prayer when we hear, when we're anticipating the birth of a child. We should be praying that this child will be dedicated unto the Lord. And if we're past having our own children, we pray for our grandchildren, and then later great-grandchildren, and our friends and families, grandchildren, dedicated to the Lord. We see that Samuel was asked for by Hannah. In 1 Samuel in chapter 1, in verse 11, we have the prayer of Hannah. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Oh, how we in our day have forgotten the preciousness of a child, the preciousness of bringing a life. How should we yearn? How should we pray for God's blessings in bringing a child into this world? Here we have Hannah in her prayer, in her vow. This young man, this child, was asked for by Hannah. And over in verse 24, chapter 1, we find her keeping her promise to the Lord. In chapter 1, verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, and with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. The prayer request and the appreciation of God's blessing on her life. I was thinking about these verses a couple of months ago, and it just really struck me that when Samuel was born, we have the praise of Hannah. "Thank you, Lord." And she praised him through his name, Samuel. We find her praise when Samuel was born, and she said, "God hath heard." And that's her praise. Now, after a few years of caring and loving and suckling and bringing this young man up, in chapter 2, we have again her praise. When he's born, she gives one sentence of praise. When she dedicates him to the Lord, she gives 10 sentences of praise. The increase of love and care, the increase that the thankfulness of God, that God brings on our lives in knowing his blessings. Our blessings should increase, and our praise to God for those blessings should increase as we grow in him. We not only see here that he was asked of Hannah, but he was authorized by Elkanah, her husband. We find that God has a very specific program of roles in the husband-wife relationship. And in the book of Numbers in chapter 30, we won't turn there for sake of time, but we do want to remember that if a daughter or wife or a daughter was to vow a vow and the husband or the father heard it, the husband or father has the responsibility to authorize that vow or to negate the vow, to say, "No, you cannot do that." And if the husband authorizes the vow, the wife is under obligation to fulfill that vow. And so we find that Elkanah heard the vow, and in the scriptures he tells Hannah, "Okay, make sure you do what you promised. I understand that you are not going to take this infant baby up to the Shiloh right away." And he knew that as she held that child, and as she nursed that child, and as she clothed that child, and as she cared for that child, her love again would increase and increase and increase. And he said, "The longer he's here, the more difficult it is for him to be given away. Make sure your heart is with God first." See, it's important for us to love God first. And then as a husband, love our wives through the love of God. As wives, love our husbands through the word of God. As parents, love our children through the love of God. So we have Elkanah and Hannah in a partnership here with Samuel. What a good start this young man had. And we find that he was not only dedicated by his family, he was directed by Eli. Now, Eli had some problems of his own, but he did know some truths. And he was taught, he taught Samuel, first of all, to listen to the Lord. You know, in chapter 3, Samuel was just a young boy. He had not heard the word of God yet. And as he's sleeping one night, he hears a call, "Samuel, Samuel." He jumps up and runs to Eli. He wakes the old man up and he says, "What?" And Eli says, "I didn't call you, go back to sleep." And so Samuel went back and lay down. Here, "Samuel, Samuel." He jumps up, goes and shakes Eli again. Eli says, "What's wrong with you? Stop waking me up." And finally, Eli discerned This is God speaking. And he gave Samuel the best instruction he would ever hear. Listen to the Lord. It's that simple. You go back and you lay down, and when God calls your name, you listen. What a blessing it is to have the right instruction as a young person, to hear and do God's word. Here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Thy servant heareth. I heard a message years ago on tape, and the preacher was talking about this verse, and he said, now we as believers have changed around this verse, this instruction, and said, listen, Lord, thy servant speaketh. You know, that seems to be our, we want to put our part into it. Yes, sir. But Samuel learned here, listen to the Lord. And he told him, you be a truth teller. In that same chapter 3, in verse 15, he told Samuel, you be a truth teller. In chapter 3, in verse 15, and Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. You know, this is why many of us are not truth tellers, because we fear. We fear. We want to hedge a bit. But Eli gave him good direction. You tell me the truth, verse 16. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from thee. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. This is the way children ought to be raised. Truth tellers. The consequences of lying are serious. In God is only light. There is no darkness in him. And he wants us to be as he is, truth tellers. As Titus penned down, God that cannot lie. We find that this is an instruction that Samuel got as a young boy. We find that he was directed by Eli. He got some good direction in his beginning. He was also devoted to the Lord. In verse 10, chapter 3 and verse 10, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And this was Samuel's mindset the rest of his life. He was devoted to the Lord. He served the Lord courageously when others were not. As a young man, he was not influenced by Hophni and Phinehas. He was surrounded by wicked priests, and yet he did not join in with them. He simply said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. He did not align himself with what everyone else is doing. He served God courageously, even when he served him alone. He served God courageously in the face of the people. In chapter 12, in verse 14, he is speaking to Israel, and he is speaking to a people who are fearful. Now, this is a dangerous situation. A fearful people are, it's hard to know what they are going to do. They could run away, they could turn around and bite you. You don't know. You're not sure exactly what is going to happen. This was a people who were in desperate circumstances. In chapter 12, in verse 14, he says, if you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now, when Stephen the deacon preached this message, they killed him. Right? I mean, this is what's happening. This is the possibility of when you stand against a people who are in fear of their power, in fear of their position, in fear of their lives. And here we find that Samuel, this prophet of God, stood fearlessly. He served God courageously. When surrounded by ungodly priests, he served him courageously as he faced the people, and he served him courageously as he faced King Saul. In chapter 13 again, in verse 12, and when ye saw that Nahash the king, chapter 12, I'll get this straight in a minute here. Let me, in chapter 13, in verse 12, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now the kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. We find him standing against the king very courageously. Now Samuel knew, again, Saul's character. And in his discussion with the Lord about going down to Bethlehem, he even mentioned to the Lord, Saul will kill me. Saul knows why I'm going, he'll kill me. So Samuel knew the situation, yet he stood courageously against this man. He served the Lord constantly. He served the Lord continuously, and he served the Lord compassionately. He had great compassion in his heart, in his life. He had compassion for Israel and the people, and he cried over them. He had compassion for Saul. This king, this man, this dangerous man, he had compassion for him. If you look in chapter 15, 1 Samuel chapter 15, in verse 11, the Lord said, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Samuel had great compassion even on those who were his enemy. He had a heart for them. He cried, he wept over the situation. His heart was broken over the situation. You know, we look at our country today and it breaks our heart. But does it grieve us? Do we just get mad and gossip? Do we just get angry and talk it down? Or does it grieve us that we cry unto the Lord all night? Oh, how we need to have compassion for our country. Compassion for what God has done. Is he going to continue to do it? This is what was gripping Samuel's heart. He not only had all these features of success in his personal life, we find that the people, he had favor among the people. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, and in verse 3, In 1 Samuel chapter 7 in verse 3, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, and then put away the strange god Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, he will deliver you out of the house of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only." He had favor. They knew he was preaching the word. He was telling the truth. And that they needed to obey his word. But why? Because it was God's word. We see that the life of Samuel is an exemplary life. But there was a failure also in his life. We look at the life of Samuel, and we would say, what can be said against this man? And it is true, there was no accusation that could be made against him. In chapter 8, in verse 1, though, a situation begins. Chapter 8, 1 Samuel, verse 1, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old." Now we don't know how old. Okay, this is very key. Sometimes we feel a lot older than we are. "So when he is old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them up out of Egypt." We find here that Samuel had gotten tired in the work. He had been making a circuit and going out and judging Israel. And literally he was getting what he considered to be worn out. And so he put his two of his sons in charge over one of the areas and said, "Now I don't have to go up there anymore." But he started a situation that became a crisis in Israel. Now, what got my mind thinking about this was Genesis chapter 49. In Genesis chapter 49, we have the testimony of Jacob. Genesis chapter 49 in verse 8. Jacob is saying, "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver but from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." We find here the testimony of God that there was going to be a king in Israel. The scepter would not depart from him. Over in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 17, in Deuteronomy in chapter 17, we have another testimony of this. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and in verse 14. Deuteronomy chapter 17, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are round about, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose." Key. The Lord thy God shall choose. God knew that there was going to be a king over Israel. The people knew from his word there would be a king over Israel. Why did God get angry? when the people said, give us a king. Why did God get angry and say, they haven't rejected you, they've rejected me, if this was in his plan the whole time? And it all comes down to Samuel quit too soon. Samuel got tired, and he did not wait upon the Lord, and he did not wait upon the Lord's choice. The people came and said, make us a king so that we can be like all the other nations. They followed Nimrod at Babel. Let us build a tower unto heaven to make us a name. It was about them. It was not about seeking God's will. It was about them. And what Samuel did not realize, the king of God's choosing was not born yet. If you will go through these scriptures and look, you'll see that Saul, when he was made king, was about 30 years old. Remember, he had a son that was old enough, Jonathan was old enough to lead an army. He was old enough to lead a group into battle. Ishbosheth was 40 years old when Saul died. The scripture teaches us in Acts chapter 13 and verse 31 that Saul reigned 40 years. And so when we look at these numbers, we find out that Saul was about 70 years old when he died. Now, what does all that mean? David was 30 when he was crowned king in Hebron. Saul was 70, David was 30. Saul reigned 40 years. David wasn't born until 10 years after Saul was crowned king. The man after God's own heart had not been born yet. Samuel got ahead of the game. Samuel got too tired. He got too anxious to get out. He got too anxious for others to take over. He got so anxious that he put people into positions that should not have been in those positions. And he created a crisis in Israel. A good man made a serious mistake because he quit too soon. He got tired too soon. I wonder how he must have felt as he continued to live and minister on and on and on and on. And he was the one that went down to Bethlehem and anointed David. And he was the one that was a confidant of David. I wonder if in Samuel's very old age, if he ever sat and thought, I quit too soon. I should have waited upon the Lord. All this is so important for us today. As we look at our lives and our abilities and our opportunities to serve God, if we are not going to serve God, who's going to do it? If we quit, who is going to take up the mantle? Who is going to grab the baton? Who? We need to know that it is God's person. We need to know that we are in God's place, in God's time, doing God's will and God's work. And we need to be careful about not being weary of well-doing and giving it up. All this morning, if you've been tired, if you've been looking for an opportunity to make a move, why? So you can quit the ministry. You say, I'm tired. I'm tired of this. Sometimes people do that. Samuel did. And it created chaos. See, we just don't affect our own lives. What we do affects a lot of other people. And I pray today, as we look at a world that's lost and dying, in need of a Savior, that we will understand it is our responsibility and our opportunity to take the gospel to that world. We say, we're too old, I'm too tired. No, no, no. That's up to God. He'll take us home when he's ready. As long as we're here, we have a work for him. Let's pray.